All right, here we go. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It is the 6th of September. I had somebody ask me a question today because I was lamenting a certain political fact, which I'll get to in a minute. And she says, well, don't you get tired of reading all those websites? Maybe you should stop reading them because you just get depressed and, you know, bad attitude and disgusted. And she didn't say angry, but, you know, you just kind of it kind of beats down on you. And she says, when do you think God's just going to solve all this stuff? And it just, you know, surely we have faith to believe that God's going to solve this, that God's going to solve the current contemporary political situation that we're in. The specific news article that I was referring to is I watched a little segment on Alex Jones, and he was referring to the rise of some new Nazi group in Florida. I don't know. They all got matching shirts, and most of them are wearing, you know, a disguise, which I don't trust. I don't trust anybody that wears a disguise. If you didn't have the courage to come out there and speak your piece with your face out there and your name out there, there's something off. But, of course, the lead guy did. He was a younger man, and he had, of course, all kinds of – he all tatted up and some sort of swastika on his neck. And, of course, the news is out there. It's the rise of, you know, whites, the rise of white supremacy, the rise of the Nazis, the rise of the fascists. And Alex, his perspective is, look, it's another Fed op. It's another Fed op. It's another organized operation run by the intelligence services or the FBI in the background. And eventually they're going to let it get big enough, and then they're going to let them do something dastardly. Like, I don't know, what he said is maybe a prominent politician blows up in a car bomb and they claim credit, and then that just will give the United States government carte blanche to go out and do whatever they want to whomever they want. Anybody that's associated, anybody that's white, really. Anybody that's politically to the right of Joe Biden. And I think he has a good insight. I think that's a fair comment. That's a fair analysis. And maybe to the person I was speaking to, it seemed extremely depressing and unnerving. What I didn't tell her is, what do you think the United States intelligence agencies do overseas? Do you think they just collect intelligence? No, they do things like this. They'll set up organizations. They'll blow stuff up. They'll kill people. They'll commit atrocities and pretend like it was being done by a left. This is old news, guys. The United States government would set up organizations, set up operations, go into other countries, Central America, South America, and shoot up police stations, commit atrocities, and pretend like this was the communists doing it to justify, I don't know, some further elevation of money towards something or more active operations in those areas to clamp down on the rising terrorism of the left-wing groups, when in fact the terrorism was committed by people that had an association with the United States government. Let's just put it that way. This is all just for my wonderful fans out there. This is all pre my current employer. I got a PhD in history. I have a PhD in U.S. diplomatic history. I got a clue what's been going on out there. Studied Latin American history. Talked to a few guys long before my current employer, just to make it really clear out there. And so anyway, the person I was sharing this with said, you know, surely God's going to save us. And so that leads me really to the topic of tonight's podcast. And my response was this. I'm certain that there was many good and Christian families and children in Lahaina, in Maui, when the fire struck. Church-going, Bible-believing, tongue-talking, whatever. Men, women, and children. Did God save them from the fire? No, a lot of them died. I don't know who died, but a lot of people died. I'm sure many of them were good people. We had a civil war in the United States. Many, many, many good, wonderful Christian men and women died on both sides of that fight. Did God save America from a civil war? No. If you study the First World War, the Second World War, a lot of good Christian men died. And a lot of bad things happened to Christian nations. Germany, for example, which is really sad in both world wars. But a good German people, Christian people, by and large, bad things happened to them. And I reminded this person, I said, you go back and study Jeremiah. And he was with his people, he was with his nation. And bad things happen to the nation. Eventually, they're totally invaded. Jerusalem is broken into. The southern two tribes are hauled off into slavery, captivity. And even Jeremiah, he has to go off. He ends up in Egypt. Did God not come down and just save them? And then I have another little story. It's about Gideon. In the time of Gideon, the Amorites, I think it was the Amorites, they were invading the land every year, devastating. They'd grow their crops, and then the Amorites, the evil people, would come in and steal everything. People were terrified. They were living in caves, and he had to harvest the wheat in a wine cellar because they were afraid of these enemies. And so when somebody says, well, surely God's going to just, you know, save us out of all this, and I know that there's many Christians out there that still believe in the rapture, that Jesus is going to come down and swoop them up any second in a rapture so they don't need to worry about bad times, hard times, evil times, invasion, war, civil war, World War III. That's their perspective. And there's many churches out there that they don't want anything to do with politics. They want to get together, have a 30-minute sermon, do a little hand clapping, stomp their feet. I don't know what they do anymore. And you can't worry about it because Jesus is going to rapture you. And to that, I'm reminded of Gideon. Gideon was like that. Oh, Lord, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something, Lord? Oh, and guess what? The Lord shows up. And the Lord looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, oh, mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, dude, I'm like the least guy in the least house of the least tribe of the house of Israel. What do you mean, oh, mighty man? I'm like literally nobody. He said, yeah, well, from now on, you got a choice. You can step up or you can step aside. Because I'm going to give you a commandment. I'm going to tell you what to do. And it's up to you to do it. You're not going to do it? That's fine. Step aside. Train keeps on rolling. But if you want to do your destiny in God, you better step up. And first thing he told Gideon to do, he said, you need to go into there, into your own household, your own place, and you need to turn over the apple cart. You need to get them very upset and uncomfortable because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not listening to me. I want you to go do something drastic. I want you to go in there in your tolerant and inclusive society that is so peaceful, you think. Oh, it's not that bad. I want you to go in there. I want you to burn down your father's idols. Slaughter his oxen. Burn them down and slaughter them. That'll get their attention because he's serious about it. God's serious about it. So it was time for Gideon to get up or shut up. Stand up or move aside. And in my opinion, the church very much has decided not to stand up. That's my opinion on the matter. I can go back and look at the southern two tribes under the time of Jeremiah and say that they didn't care either. They didn't care. They weren't going to serve God. Forget God. We're better off when we were serving all the pagan idols. I mean, they said it. They said it out of their mouth. So we're not going to serve God. You know, we'll do our little tap dance, and we'll do a little whatever. But we're not going to be. We're not going back. We're not going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll have a little. Shrine to him here, shrine to him there. We'll go through a few ceremonies here, but we're going to have our other little things that we do. We're going to burn incense to the God of heaven, and we're going to have a tolerant and inclusive society. And if that means, we got a couple things going on, we're not going to do it. And they went off into captivity. Is the United States at that point? I don't know. God told Gideon, "Is you go back there, you start burning down some idols in your father's household." It didn't start with fighting the Amorites. It didn't start with that. And you know my pet peeves. You know the things I talk about. You know what I say treason is. Treason is siding with the children of the devil. And that's what Judas Iscariot did. And so I have an issue with that. I've made that very, very clear. That's what treason is. And a lot of churches don't feel that way. A lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of Christians say, no. Siding with the synagogue of Satan is actually a Christian duty. And so there's a huge disconnect between myself and probably most Christians. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right, doesn't mean I'm wrong, but I'm just stating the facts. I think I am right. I got the scriptures on my side. I've made that clear. I bet my earthly life on it, and I probably bet my eternal life on it. I've staked my claim to this issue. It's probably the least popular issue that you can take. It's not how you attract people that want to listen to you. It's probably the least proper thing to do if you want to have acceptance and popularity and make money or whatever, grow your church. But that's where I'm at. That's the decision I've made. I will not repent of that. I will not turn back from that unless somebody can show me by the Holy Scriptures, and then I'll be happy to. So far, the more I see, the more I look, the more absolutely convinced that I'm right on this, and the church needs to change. So the original question is, Fritz, don't you have faith? Don't you, don't get so depressed and you're worried about all these different things, and you just read too much negative news. And, that's fine. That's a valid question that needs to be asked. And I said, you know what? That's a great question. That's a completely valid question. And I thought about it for a minute. And I thought about it. And I said to this person, I said, you know what? 10 years ago, none of us here could remotely imagine that kindergartners would be taught trainism. 10 years ago, if somebody said that would be taught in kindergartners in 2023, we would have said, dude, you're out of your mind. You are a conspiracy theorist. You're getting too depressed. You're reading too many right-wing websites. And you're just, no. That's not, you're just, way too conspiracy-minded, Fritz. They would have said that 10 years ago. 10 years ago, if somebody said, you know what, we're going to get a president here one of these days really quickly now, and he's going to literally open up our national borders, and he's going to send government agencies and government agents in Central and South America and do everything they can to push illegal migrants into the U.S., you would have said, Fritz, you're reading too many right-wing conspiracy websites. There's no way. That's not possible. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. We have ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, they will not let that happen. But that's what's going on in America in 2023. Somebody would have told you 5 years ago, yeah, we're gonna have our schools are gonna help kids transition genders, and they're gonna hide it from the parents. You would have said, Fritz, you're reading too many right-wing conspiracy theories. Why are you paying attention to Alex Jones? And I don't. Occasionally I'll go there, like the article I mentioned just now. You're listening to a lunatic, Fritz. That this is not, you're crazy. You're out of your mind to think that public schools in America would have kindergartners through sixth grade through high school hiding their gender transitions from their parents and actively encouraging it. You really are out there, Fritz. Yet that's exactly what we have in 2023. So tell me again. The trend in this country, we're seeing things in 2023 that literally we could not have imagined even 5 years ago. We are also on the cusp. Well, the United States, near as I can tell, as somebody with a PhD in diplomatic history, is already at war with Russia. Now, you can say, oh, we're just aiding the Ukrainians. Listen, without what the United States is doing, Ukraine wouldn't exist. Another $1 billion is going to Ukraine. I think I don't know. I think just, you know, this week. So, you know, what's the downside there? Oh, you know, I don't know. Maybe even a bigger war. And part of my suspicions is they're going to push this as hard as they can, because if they can get a civil war going on in the United States and a war with Russia going on, then it's all over, baby. It's carte blanche. To the people in power, it's carte blanche. Remember what happened in World War II? They incarcerated not just the Japanese, but other people as well. Remember what happened in the Civil War? The writ of habeas corpus is suspended. They could arrest and hold people with for no reason whatsoever. What do you think will happen with a national man-made plague, with civil war, with assassination of political leaders orchestrated by the federal government, and a war, an expanding war with Russia that could possibly lead to something pretty bad? Do you think the government will have any trepidation whatsoever in completely suspending the Constitution of the United States and throwing people in jail for any reason whatsoever? They're already doing no-knock invasions of old men's houses and shooting them to death. 73-year-old the other day. Is that a picture of him? He's on an oxygen tank. They do it to instill fear in people. And you can take, under those circumstances, you can take all the crimes of the ruling class, all the Epstein Islands, everybody that's been to Epstein Island, all the billions and trillions of dollars in graft that has been paid out of the public coffers into the politicians' bank accounts, Republican and Democrat alike. And you just shove it under the rug. We're trending towards something. I have a sense that it's something very bad. You know, if you believe in the rapture, well, you ain't going to get a rapture. You're not getting raptured out of this. I'm just going to flat out tell you, you will not get raptured out of this mess. It's not going to happen. There was a civil war in the United States in 1861, I think it broke out. A lot of very, very, very good Christian men were slaughtered. A lot of very good Christian women were slaughtered and violated, and their homes burned. Right after the Second Great Awakening, by the way. You know where the song Onward Christian Soldiers? This was not a time of paganism or the nonsense we have going on in America today. This was a Christian peoples. And you can make whatever reasons you want, what, you know, why we went through that, but we went through that. And I'm telling you, I'm flat out telling you, I want to know why God would save us. Why would he save us? The church can't even do anything. The church can't even identify the source of evil. I said it the other night, and I'll say it again. Christian men full of the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel, are the force for good. And Jesus Christ taught that there's a synagogue of Satan and the devil's children, and they are a force for evil. This is all very clear in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the Revelation, in the book of Thessalonians, 1 John, 2 John, talking about the Antichrist. They say, well, who's Antichrist? Well, who's always been Antichrist for 2,000 years? But the church has made a pact with the enemy. The church has made a pact with that synagogue. The church has made a pact with the world. James 4:4, and thus you make yourself at enmity with God. And then you want to say, well, God's going to save us all out of this. And my question is, why? Why should he? Why? I don't know why. I have no idea why. I can't think of one good reason why God should save America out of complete and utter destruction and devastation. Because the church isn't even standing up. Church won't even, oh, we're going to pray, we're going to get raptured. Church wants to stay out. Church wants to be the gray man. The church is at the stage that Gideon was at before he repented, essentially. Oh, we're going to stay down here. We're going to harvest the wheat, and we're going to prepare the wheat in a place where we ought to be treading out the grapes. don't mind us. You know, we're not going to stop you. We're not going to hurt you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to name you Amorites. No, 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 no. We're just, you know, go do your evil stuff. And, you know, we're just kind of trying to lay low till you move on to the other side. That seems to me where the church is at. I'm not talking about, you know, these lesbian Lutheran churches. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Bible-believing, evangelical, Protestant, Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, evangelical. I'm not seeing it. And then there's the other question, you know, what do you want? What do you want America to be? And, you know, I've dug deep in my heart and my soul over my lifetime on this as well. At one time, I fancied myself a libertarian, which is a worthless effort. And my thought was, look, I just want to be left alone, do my own thing. Okay, I realize not everybody is, not everybody will. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. Your kids are being taught trannyism in the grade schools now. And they're butchering live children and cutting off body parts and naming them something different. Science is out the window. You don't change an XX to an XY or vice versa. They conveniently overlooked that. I'm going to have to do another podcast on the foundations of nations. And it does come down to blood. I mean, you go back and you look, what are the foundations of nations in the book of Genesis? It's blood. They tried to have one big happy empire. We're all Americans. We're all from Babel. We're all one. We're brothers. United in harmony. God hated that. He hated it. He hated it so much he went down and confused their languages and drove them apart. So I'm not buying that. I don't buy that. And so now once you go there, oh, God, now that the enemy and the devil's children are really going to be upset. Oh, Fritz, you're a racist. And the church won't go there. They're not willing to be called dirty names. Jesus Christ was willing to be called dirty names. And he told his followers, he said, look, if they call me Beelzebul, what do you... Come on, guys. If they call me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call you? And if the enemies of Jesus Christ love you and approve of you, man, you got a problem. I'm telling you, you got a big problem. The only other Christian that the enemies of God approved, I think his name was Judas Iscariot. Remember that guy? People don't talk about him enough. Are we ready to say, you know what, the law of the land is going to be based upon the Ten Commandments? It needs to be. It should be. It must be. You want to build a Christian nation? It's the Ten Commandments, baby. It never has gone away. So back to my question. You know, don't I just believe that God's going to save us all of this? I said, no, I don't. I really don't. I don't believe that. Not without something on the scale of the U.S. Civil War. And remember, in World War I and World War II, we fought over there, with a few exceptions. Pearl Harbor, Aleutian Islands, forest fires off the coast of Oregon. On the Oregon coast. But it was by and large fed on it. What do you think about the Christian Germans that were consumed in firebombs? That were consumed, Dresden firebomb. As many people died in Dresden as died in the nuclear bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. People don't like to talk about that. It's the English and the Americans that were slaughtering German Christians, burning them alive, burning them to death. It was the Christian nations of Europe that were slaughtering each other in the First World War with mustard gas, having men marching to machine guns. And I guess my thought is, can I just trust that God's going to save us? I think there's something else coming. What can we do individually? Listen, I'm telling you. You better start opening up your mouth and speaking and saying the things that the devil doesn't want to hear. You only got one chance in this life to do that, and that's now. You don't know when the day is up. And I thank God I didn't wait till I got retired before speaking up. No man knows their day or their hour. They just don't. Whether you're a pastor or a Christian, you better start speaking up. And if the synagogue loves you, you better change that. All right, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.